chocolatier Brian McElrath says 20 years ago, very few Americans would be willing to try chocolate with a hint of balsamic vinegar. And just forget about putting a chili limon truffle in your mouth. But McElrath says in the late 1980s, Americans became educated about food and were willing to open themselves up to new taste sensations. People began craving high-quality, better-tasting foods.
I kind of liken it to coffee, with the emergence of specialty coffee, large chains, $3 lattes. You know, when I grew up, a cup of Joe was a quarter. You know, there again, that changed, and chocolate changed in a similar fashion.
Brian McElrath, a trained chef, says he wanted to use his culinary skills to satisfy the evolving American palate. He thought making fine chocolates would be an outlet for him to literally play with food and to create distinctive blends of tastes and textures.
The balsamic vinegar and the Zinfandel wine were part of a salad dressing from my earlier chef days, as it were. And I really found that the fruitiness of the wine and some of the smokiness of the vinegar could accentuate the taste of the chocolate.
McElrath's approach to chocolate relies on his experience as a chef. He says a traditional chef spends hours in the kitchen constructing dishes, but McElrath deconstructs things and focuses on the flavor elements.
I'll take the Asian flavor profiles of ginger, lime leaves, coconut milk, things that they use in curries or in a pad thai, and I'll take the elements that I think will work well with chocolate and reconstruct them.
McElrath's chocolates are made in a squat brick industrial center in Minneapolis. The East Hennepin Avenue building has a colorful history. During World War II, it was home to the scientists who invented the black box, the cockpit recorders used in airplanes. It was also the site of the first Betty Crocker test kitchen for General Mills. Cheerios and Wheaties were developed there. Brian McElrath says the building's history as a food lab convinced him to sign the lease and start his company in 1996.
The first room we're going to go into would be the candy kitchen. This is my favorite place. This is where we have all of the machines that are going to melt and stir. We're going to be molding candies in here. We'll be enrobing our centers that we created in the kitchen.
Oh, and the chocolate smell is even more intense in here. It just puts a smile on your face.
Yes, this is sort of the heart of the operation, so to speak.
We walk through sort of this plastic curtain, and I see a machine here. Ooh, it's like it's hard to describe. It's almost like a mill wheel, and it's sort of churning the chocolate.
This is a tempering machine. They're made in Holland. We have one for each color of the chocolate. And indeed, the spinning wheel that you described there is going to stir and agitate the chocolate. It's also going to deliver the chocolate up to a spout, up to a hopper that will drop the proverbial chocolate waterfall out of that spout, which will allow us to fill up molds. It will allow us to use our coating device.
I have to ask you, Brian, you know, I see this river of chocolate before me, and it's all I can do not to dip my finger in it to taste it.
Well, we have a version of that. In order to determine if the chocolate has the correct hardness to it, we'll dip a little square of paper so we get a nice, thin, even coating, and then we'll lay that down onto our marble table. Within 3 to 5 minutes, that has to start to change in appearance. And that's my favorite treat of the day.
Are you telling me that I can taste some of this chocolate?
This is a test strip, so we want to make sure that our chocolate's been tempered correctly. It should have a nice crisp snap to it and dissolve slowly on your palate. And by the time you take a second bite, you should also have the chocolate melting a little bit on your fingers.
People actually take second bites of chocolate because I usually eat it in one bite.
Oh, we have a term here. When you hand someone a piece of chocolate, they're either a biter or a popper. There's no right or wrong.
But apparently you can go wrong with flavor combinations. For example, there was a time McElrath whipped up a white chocolate mousse and added wasabi powder and curry cherries. He says it was a disaster. Brian McElrath says that's not the case with this year's special Valentine's Day flavor combination, a dark chocolate heart covering a black cherry ganache. I'm Greta Cunningham, Minnesota Public Radio News.